Hey, everybody, this is Leo Costa Jr. coming to you from SiriusGrowth.com. Today on our show, we have Andy Bornman. Andy, how are you doing today?
I'm good.
Excellent. Yeah. I see here where you're an owner of Andy B's Bikinis and Andy Team. I don't have my glasses. Andy Team Fit. Is that what you call
it? Team Andy B Fit.
Yeah, okay. And that's you're getting people and ladies. Are you doing just women as far as getting them ready for shows, or are you doing like guys and everything?
Yeah, I have guys, I have bodybuilders, I got them all.
And you learned all this by initially by internet, or how did you get started in all this?
Yeah, I started like just in about 2010. I started, you know, teaching cycle classes at the gym and just becoming really involved in it. I got a nutrition certification, got my personal training and all of that. And then back then when I started competing, I was kind of the only one around here at that point before it kind of came back popular. And had some good success. And then I just kind of started helping other people. And then it just kind of blew up from there. So I will have like 50 athletes at a time now.
That is insane. I don't know how you do that. You know, I know just myself working with two or three was, it drove me crazy.
Let alone, of course, it does drive me crazy.
I know you're probably not working with them all at one time, but you're probably working with a fair amount at one time. You know,
good 30 at a time. Yeah.
So who's harder to work with, the guys or the girls?
The girls.
You know what? I kind of got the same feeling, you know?
Yeah.
And when I was at these competitions, there was always somebody was always melting down. Yeah. It was amazing. I mean, we're all hard to deal with to a degree, because at that level, you know, everything's at its peak. But, oh, man, I tell you what, I even thought that the girls were way worse than the guys.
You know, with guys, it was like, they're kind of like, oh, I got to eat chicken? Okay. You know, girls are like, well, this week, you know, I need salt this week. They're very dramatic.
So how do you
guys are kind of like, just do whatever you say.
Yeah. So, when you've had enough of that, what do you end up saying? Just shut the fuck up and just do what I'm telling you, or what?
I mean, many times,
you know, I mean, really, sometimes it's just ridiculous. It's like, okay.
Well, and it's like, you have to help me help you. Like, you know, that a lot of times they lie.
Yeah.
So it's like, usually I'll ask for a summary, like your percentage of your training, your diet, like everything this week, your weight, your previous weight. And it's like, oh, I was 100% on everything, but I gained some weight. I'm like, well, you're lying for one.
There you go.
You know, it's calories in versus calories out. There's no way you gained weight this week. So there's a lot of lying going on.
I know. And that's the thing about that is they don't realize that you already know ahead of time. You know, when I tell my people, like, I've got you on this diet, I already know what's going to happen to you if you follow the program. So let's just cut the shit and let's just find out where, you know, I know the frustration of that. It's like, oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
You know, do you really want to compete or not? Let's just
That's
be clear
what I
about
tell
that.
Them. At this rate, you'll never step on stage, and I'm not going to just put you up there.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, you know, to a degree, they're representing you, you know, so you want to make sure that product that goes out is looking good, you know, so.
Yeah.
Anyway, when I left the sport in the late 80s, you know, women's bodybuilding was just really, as you can probably imagine, much different. I mean, to the point where it was just women's bodybuilding and they were competing with the guys in a couples and competition. I think they call it mixed or whatever. But I think that back then, maybe I've forgotten, it's been so damn long, but I think it was just one category of women competing. But it just didn't seem like, it seems like the sport was just having a hard time trying to figure out how these women should look and how to judge them. And it made it very frustrating for a lot of the women, you know?
Yeah, I think, you know, a lot, so people always have their opinions about how women should look. But I think as I noticed, like when I did bikini, everybody loved it. You know, when I did figure, it was like, whoa, you know, don't get too strong, don't get too buff. And then when I did women's physique, it was I had a lot of people that appreciated, you know, the hard work, but I got a lot of negative comments. You know, I have a lot of followers on social media and stuff. And so it would be a lot of like, ew, disgusting. Yeah. And it's like, well, then why are you following me? But, you know, and then there's also the people that really know how much work goes into it and do appreciate it, even though they don't love the look. But, you know, I think the look has gotten so out of control now. The which is why they got rid of women's bodybuilding at Olympia, but it's coming back this year. So yeah. I feel like that will also bring the women's physique back down. They've gotten to where they look like women's bodybuilders, which I'm a women's physique pro, and I actually have gone switched to fitness because, not because I feel like I'm not big enough, but because I've always wanted to do fitness, and I just thought this would be a good time to change. Yeah. But I'm not saying I won't go back to women's physique now that they did bring women's bodybuilding back. So we'll see how that goes.
So let me ask you this now. What's the big difference between physique and bodybuilding, or is it the same?
It's the same, minus we have open hands, which is supposed to make it a little more feminine. Uh-huh. And then we're supposed to just be a little bit smaller. But I mean, it's not really that different now.
So it's going to be kind of like before. It kind of blurs. They blur into each other, right? I mean, the physique.
Yes.
And that makes it, again, I just think that's a big struggle. You know, listen, I have to tell you something. I'm not a big fan of the women that get so big that they don't look like women anymore.
Right.
You know, but I do appreciate the fact because I understand how much work goes into that. So for the purity of the sport, and for you, women trying to put on as much muscle as possible, that's kudos to you, because I know how much work that takes. But as you mentioned, you get a lot of flack when you are that, when you look like that, you know?
You really do. You really do. And it's usually from, I mean, obviously, it's usually from somebody that doesn't even matter, but right. It's still like, well, why are you going through all this to say something about me, you know?
Yeah.
But, I actually didn't realize how much muscle I had put on throughout the years, you know, becomes to where, you're never big enough.
Right.
You're never lean enough.
Right.
And now that I had switched divisions, normally I'm about 155 on stage. I'm only 5'3", so
that's pretty big.
I'm about 155 on stage. And when I had switched to fitness, I realized that I have to be like 125.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, giving up like training and I gave up a lot over the past 6 months. And it's a lot harder to lose muscle than you think.
Yeah.
Even these last few weeks, I stopped eating protein, trying to get smaller.
Yeah.
So I guess I did put on a lot of muscle throughout the years, but I didn't see it until I had to lose it.
Well, and the thing about that is I've told this story before. When I was married, I'd get up to 300 pounds in the off season, but I was around my wife so much that she says, I don't see you as being big. And
right.
I think that's kind of the same thing. You don't realize, could you see yourself every day? And you just, it's a slow, process. And
I get up to about 175, 180 in my off season. And to me, it wasn't that big.
Exactly.
But that's huge.
Yeah, it really is,
Yeah.
One of the things, this happened in men's pro bodybuilding. The Olympia, and again, I love the guys that they get that big, but it becomes a freak show.
Yes.
And the sport.
People like a freak show.
Yeah, and people like a freak show. But the thing about that is part of that is what's made men's bodybuilding, pro bodybuilding, has not gotten more popular over the years. In fact, it's gotten less popular.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, and it's just, I think it's because of that. It's become so, and maybe that's what you're talking about, like with the women now. It's because for that group that is a cult following, like I dig it, but commercially, I mean, and this is something that Ben Weider, do you remember Ben Weider and Joe Weider and all those guys? It's just like they were trying, especially Ben, they were always trying to make it more commercialized, to get it into the Olympics, but shit, they couldn't do that. With these guys that were taking all the drugs that they had to do.
He ran a natural show this year that was an Olympia qualifier. It was 3 weeks ago, Ben did. He's trying to get it into the Olympics.
Yeah.
But it was a really small show because everybody's on steroids in the FPV.
Yeah.
So it was a really small show.
Yeah, that makes it very difficult. And plus of the promoters that are putting these shows on, it's hard to make any money if you're just having the freaks come in, whether it be women or men, right? I mean, you're going to get that small group. And that's exactly why when I came back when I came back from a 13-year layoff to compete again, because I was curious if muscle really did have memory. I mean, as a bodybuilder, I'm sure you know this. If somebody tells you to go eat crap and bang your head up against the wall, and you're going to put on 3 inches on your bicep, you're going to do that. when you have when you have that mindset, and that's very difficult for most people to really understand.
So that's pretty, right.
It is insane, you know. But you know, but so when I came back in, you know, after a 13-year layoff, I was like, holy crap, all these divisions now. The men board competition. I'm thinking, what the hell are they doing here?
Men's physique.
Yeah,
physique. Well, they have classic.
Yeah.
Now they have classic, which a lot of the, you know, 212 bodybuilders, they're all going down to that because they're never going to, they're never placing top 10 in the open bodybuilding or in the 212. So going to classic is, like I said, more attainable to society.
Yeah.
They feel like they could reach that goal.
Yeah.
And not just a freak show.
And then plus it makes it just a lot more commercially appealing. You know, people want to see. I found out right away how that worked because they had all the good looking women, the fitness women and all the bikinis. They closed the show. And that didn't used that didn't used to be how that was back when I was competing. It wasn't like that. But not, I understand why people actually stayed there longer, you know?
Oh yeah, there's so many pro bikini shows and so many pro men's physique shows. Like all of the women's physique ones, I had to travel outside of the country, you know, to go to women's physique shows, but there's so many pro bikini because that's where all the money's at.
Yeah.
The money's in that. They don't care about us women's physique girls, and they don't care about that. That's where the money's at. So, you know, I get it. And it is a good, it was a good thing for them to do. But to me, that's not bodybuilding.
Yeah, so. I agree. I totally agree with you. You know, I really do. But, you know, like in so many areas of sport, it is about the money. You know, just follow the money. And that's just kind of the reality of that whole thing. So my curiosity is, and I think maybe you told me you just transitioned, but what made you choose women's bodybuilding instead of staying? I mean, you're kind of going back a little bit the other way, it sounds like.
Yeah.
But I mean, initially, what drew you to that, to bodybuilding? Because that's at the other end of that spectrum.
So, well, actually, I was kind of forced into it because my first show, I did bikini, and I got judges' feedback, and they were like, you're way too lean. You know, you need to soften up. And this was like back when the girls were not so skinny, you know. So for 5 weeks, I tried to soften up. I did another one. And then they said I was too lean. So I moved to figure, which I also didn't know what I was doing. I bought my suit off eBay, and I learned posing off of YouTube. And then I took second place, but they also said, you're too lean. Like, you would do better in women's physique. And I was like, ew.
Yeah.
Like, I will never do women's physique is what I thought. And so, you know, he was like, I remember I was in LA and he was like, if you were to go down to the show next week and do women's physique, you'd probably win it. And I was like, really? Like, so anyway, so I started researching women's physique and I was just like, well, I guess I'll try it.
Yeah.
You know, so I didn't tell anybody I was going. I didn't want anybody to know because I was embarrassed that I wasn't going to look good enough. And I won the overall with the sword and everything. So I was like, I guess it's the right division for me. So then I went on to do like four. I won four overalls. And then I started going to nationals and all of that. But yeah, I was kind of forced into it. I didn't really realize how much muscle I had, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't
know. So it's just.
Yeah.
And now I love it. I loved it. I did. I just was at first like, ew, no, I'm not doing that.
Yeah. I know, like, even when we were competing, it was kind of a small circle because you saw the same kind of judges a lot of times. You know, there was a certain group that you knew were going to be there. And it was even to the point where they were looking for something a little bit different, even though it was, we were being judged, you know, as men's bodybuilding, but those judges were looking for something a little smaller, a little leaner.
Yeah.
Do you face that as well as far as getting ready for shows? You know who's going to kind of be there judging and you kind of.
Oh, yes. I know all the judges. So, like, each place, each show, like Spectrum, the ones in California, I know exactly what judges are going to be there. I know exactly what they want.
Yeah.
So, but when it comes to the IFBB, I mean, it's always the pro judges. And so, really, there's not, when you're competing in the IFBB, you know, everybody looks good. So it's not like they're going to pick the softer one. That's it's usually, although I've learned conditioning will beat size all the time.
Yeah.
So I usually try to come in more conditioned than big because I naturally can put on a lot of size. But throughout the years, every year in January, so they try to go back down. So every year in January, they say, We're going to go back down. We don't want you guys so big.
Yeah.
So they start out by making it a point to pick the smaller ones.
Yeah.
But by August, everybody's big again. Yeah. And it's all out the window.
Yeah,
so.
The intentions are, I guess, in the right spot, but it gets, you know, it goes right back, like you're saying.
It goes right back to it. Yeah.
And talking about being conditioned and being smaller, I know that that was a real hard thing for me to wrap my head around because, you know, we get big as we possibly could while keeping our body fat kind of in check, you know, 10%. Yeah. That's kind of the rule of thumb back then. Yeah. And then it was hard to, you know, to come in where you had to actually drop muscle going in. But you were right about that. It was like that's when you won the shows because that being big wasn't that little layer of fat or that smoothed you out. And it was
that little water.
That little bit of water. Is it still like that then? Is that what you're saying? Yeah, I guess that hasn't changed too much. So let me ask you, are the male bodybuilders intimidated by you?
Usually, like, the male bodybuilders usually can appreciate, you know, the look.
Yeah.
But it's usually, like, the men's physique guys and stuff that I'm usually, like, bigger than. So, or the legs.
Yeah. Does that bug them a little bit?
Yeah.
I would think so. I mean, this sport is so much about that.
Or they always are jealous of my calves, I guess.
Oh, yeah. I've always been jealous of women's calves. You know, I thought maybe the way to get calves like that was just to walk around in heels because I thought that's got to be the reason why they have these beautiful diamond-shaped calves, for goodness sake, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's
just genetics, really, when it comes to calves.
That's crazy. So now you're in this, tell me again the division you're in, physique? Or fitness?
I am women's physique normally.
Okay, but you're going into fitness.
I'm going to fitness, yeah. Okay,
so tell me about what's going on in your sport with as far as drug use. Is it across the board? Are you always dealing with something like that?
I mean, in the IFBB, I would say 95% are taking it. And actually the NPC too. Mm-hmm. Usually they'll be like those first year ones that come in and, you know, they're looking around like, how does everybody look like this? Because they don't know any different.
Yeah.
And then by the next year though, they're taking something. Even the bikini girls, even though I think it's completely pointless for them to take stuff, they're all still doing at least some Anavar or clenbuterol or something.
Yeah. You know, that really used to piss me off because when I first started in the sport, I really wanted to do this naturally. You know, that was, I wrote training courses on that to create the, you know, I wanted to make it about just having a better training methodology, having better nutrition, you know.
Yeah.
But to be honest with you, you know, when you went out and started competing in the real world out there, it was never a fair playing field. You know, it was bullshit.
Nope.
And, you know, and of course now there's some organizations that are doing, you know, they're testing more and things like that.
Yeah.
But it was just kind of, man, it's like, you know, how do you compete, especially as you're going up the ladder? How do you compete?
Yeah. And, you know, I didn't know, like I said, I didn't know any different when I first started competing. So I did bikini figure and my very first women's physique show natural because, nobody told me any different. And once I had moved to nationals and stuff, and people were like, oh, you're going to need to take stuff, you know? So I was like, oh, okay. But then once I did, I realized, oh, well, this is great. That's why people like it.
Yep,
you know,
that's right.
It's so much better. And like I said, I miss it during this prep. This is the first prep I've done in years without it. And it's, you know, my recovery is way worse.
Yeah.
My strength is, you know, it's not as fun. That's for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, once somebody gets a taste of it, I mean, It is good,
you know?
Yeah.
And, did you have any, you know, a man putting male hormones in his body is one thing. Obviously, I'm not a female, so how does that affect you when you're putting that? I know you're saying it makes you feel better, but are there any other, does that change you in any way, would you say?
Yeah. I've never taken testosterone because I always felt like I don't want it that bad.
Yeah.
I just didn't. But I noticed my voice definitely was the main thing. My voice got very like hoarse and scratchy.
Yeah.
So, and sometimes, some years, I would break out, like, on my shoulders. And then sometimes I wouldn't. I don't know. That was always different. I noticed my hair was thinner. There was different things that I would notice different times of the year, I guess. And then...
What about emotionally? Emotionally, did it change you? Did it make you? And maybe I'm asking. I'm just asking a lot of these questions for somebody who doesn't really know. Okay, but did it make you more aggressive? And you know, did it change you that way?
I don't think so. I don't feel like it made me more aggressive. I'm already an aggressive person, so I don't think it made me more aggressive. I know guys talk about that, like trend and stuff makes them really aggressive, but I don't think it made me. I think I get more irritable, but I think that's just diet, you know, and stuff like that, getting close to a show. I have no patience for my kids and my dog, but, I don't think so.
And they used to talk about, road rage and all that kind of stuff. But the truth of the matter is this, look, if you're already, if you have road rage, you already have that. You know, that's a part of your general makeup to begin with, you know, and they were trying to listen. I don't necessarily condone taking steroids, but I took them and there was so much bullshit that was just misinformation. And this was one of them. Oh, it's because of the steroids that this happened. You know, no, it actually wasn't. That person was already, you know, he had that tendency and that propensity. Yeah. And, you know, that was just more used as an excuse as far as I'm concerned.
I agree.
You know, and
people say that, but you know, you're already that type of person.
Yeah.
And you're already, it's a lot of other things that go into it of why you're irritable and mean and, you know.
I agree with you. I thought that the, you know, the diet and being that on the edge, you know, for that many months, because you're, it made me cranky to the point
it
where
makes me that way.
I even had a shirt that says, "Don't talk to me, I'm dieting," you know, just for fun. Just
like, yeah, exactly.
I really couldn't even stand myself, to be honest with you, when all that was going on.
You know, I used to get so, I would, I kind of like the last few weeks, I kind of hide out. It's just what I do when I'm getting ready for a show.
Yeah.
And I only talk to my kids and my dog and whatever. But every time after a show, whether I win, lose, it doesn't matter. When I get this overwhelming guilt, like just this crazy guilt. Like I'll be all back from on a flight home from a show and I'll be like, oh my God, I was so rude to my kids. I was so mean. You know, when I get home, I'm just going to talk to them. I'm just going to, you know, and I'll get home and they're like, hey.
Yeah.
And they're like on their phone. They don't care. And I'm like, I miss you guys. And they're like, oh, you know, but I get this crazy guilt. I don't know why it happens to me every show, but yeah, they don't care. They're so used to it. I've been doing this since they were little.
Yeah,
so
it's just mom. That's just mom.
They like it. As long as I come home with a sword. Well, that was before I turned pro. Now I get my ass whooped at pros. So
it's starting all over again, you know?
Now I'm like, as long as I'm getting top 10, I'm okay.
Yeah, exactly. So, okay. And when you're training, are you training similar to the guys? I mean, is there a difference between how women train or to get to the way you're looking now? Do you have to train more like like a guy does? How does that work?
I do train like a guy. I like to train like bench and squats and deadlifts and stuff. But when I'm making like my training programs for the bikini girls, it's way different. They don't do any of that.
Yeah.
They do just like hamstrings and glutes every day.
Yeah, whatever.
How they turn every machine into a butt machine.
Oh, God. Yeah. So since it's harder to put on muscle because of your gender, how do you overcome that? I mean, assuming that you're not, you know, you're not doing it clean or whatever, but how do you, like, just by your own, your gender, I mean, you don't produce the testosterone that men do.
Right.
So how do you overcome that?
Well, I, oddly, like I said, I did all three of I did even my first women's physique show natural. I oddly put on a lot of muscle, and I don't know if it was because, you know, I was a gymnast when I was little. I was a cheerleader. So I've always carried like a lot of muscle. I had to, like, I didn't choose to go to women's physique. I had to go to women's physique because of the muscle that I had. So I'm just lucky in that way that I put on a lot of muscle, but I've seen girls that want to put on a lot that say, I want to do women's physique. And I'm like, well, are about 5 years away from doing that, you know, and I watch them try to put on, I try to put a ton of muscle on them, and it is not as easy. It is not.
Yeah.
It is. It's a lot harder.
Yeah.
But you know,
do you, with your diet and everything, are you eating a certain amount of protein? That, I mean, that would help, I would think, to put some muscle on, but do you eat a certain amount?
So normally, yes. Right now I stopped eating protein because I've been trying to lose the muscle for the show.
Yeah.
Which I never thought this would ever happen in my life. But normally, yes, I do eat like 150 grams or to 200 grams a day of protein.
And you're weighing how much, you said? 120 right now, 122?
No, that's what I want to be for fitness, but I'm 147.
Okay, so you're eating almost 1 gram per 1 pound of body weight of protein.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that typically what you would eat? Is it about that high?
Well, I haven't been this weight in a bazillion years.
Yeah.
I'm usually between 180 and then my show day, I'm about 155.
Yeah.
So I would say, yes, I do.
Yeah.
I eat around up to 200 grams. When I'm off season, I eat a lot.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
600 carbs a day.
Oh, yeah. I know that when I, years and years ago, when I went back, I was in Bulgaria and I watched the Olympic teams in Bulgaria train. Their coaches were really big on, they said, look, most people do not take enough protein. I know back then in those days for bodybuilding, the big thing was, do you remember Mike Mincer? Do you remember that name?
I remember the name.
He had a program called Heavy Duty. And him, and actually who was a disciple of his in a way, was Dorian Yates. He had the similar low reps, you know. But Mike was, he was a big proponent of a half a gram per 1 pound of body weight. He said that was more than enough. And yet, when I went to these Olympic lifters, those guys, the Bulgarians are way ahead of their game back then, about 8 years ahead of everybody else. And they said, no, you need to eat as much as 3 to 4 grams for 1 pound of body weight, especially if you're training intensely, because your body's going, it's being torn down, and it needs that much to recover, you know? So I would...
I'm always torn when people say to eat that much more, because I know that, like, too much protein will get... spilled over into your kidneys or whatever, right? And eat out.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's a waste or not.
Well, I think if you're staying hydrated, I don't think it's that big of an issue, you know, because as you mentioned at the top of the show, that it's calories in, calories out, you know, and, but anyway, just curious about that. Your training partners, do you have any training partners currently? Do you train by yourself?
By myself. Yeah.
Oh, you do, huh?
Yeah. I like to train by myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know people always like want to train with me, and so I will, but I don't, if I'm training for myself, I won't train with anybody.
That's interesting, because I found that it was, I'm pretty self-motivated, but when it came down to that, I used to train with 2 or 3 partners, you know, just to keep that momentum going. But
yeah,
I mean, for you to do that, I think your level of intensity and your discipline is probably higher than most, because I think most train with partners.
I know people like that. When I get into my zone, like I have 5 cardio machines here at my house. I have weights here, you know, I have, gymnastics mat. I have everything here, and I'll get home. I've been so crazy that I have gotten home and went to bed and laid there and thought, did you really give it 100% today? And I'd be like, no. And I've gotten up out of my bed and went and did cardio or went and worked out. So I've gotten too crazy before.
Yeah.
But I don't need a trainer. I don't need like a training partner. I like to do it alone. I'm more focused.
Interesting. Now, you said that you have all this equipment at your house. Do you go to a gym to train, or you train at your house?
I go to the gym. Okay. I usually go to the gym to train. But I also, you know, I have kids, and if they have homework and stuff, if I can't go, I want to have it here so that I can get it done.
Well, that's good that you've done that. You know, you have to accommodate to your situation, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Can women make... women bodybuilders make a full-time living from the sport?
Yes. Well, okay. People think, oh, once you turn pro, like, you know, now you're going to be making all kinds of money. And it's like, well, no, I'm not. You know, you win some money to win a show. But it depends. So, like, it depends on sponsors will pay you monthly to just work out.
Yeah.
You know, that's like, that for me, it's a hobby. It's not a job, a full-time job. But could I make it that? Probably, yeah.
Because I know, like, with the guys, if you weren't in the, I don't know how it is today, but back then, if you weren't in the top three or four, I mean, you couldn't make a living at it. I mean, by the time you take out all the food and all, I mean, you did that, they have sponsors, but there was so much cost going into that thing.
Yeah.
That most of the guys, they really couldn't make that. Now, they offset that by doing seminars and, you know, maybe a supplement line, you know, having people
sponsor you. Yeah, that's the thing is there's so many supplement lines now that if you're like the face of the supplement line, you can make really good money doing that. And most higher up, they usually become coaches too because, yeah, you know, there is a lot of money in it.
Yeah. But, so what's your, at this stage of the game then, what's your ultimate goal in your sport? I know it's more of a hobby for you, but do you have like a goal or something that you're trying to attain now?
Yeah, so because I switched to fitness, we're going to see how I do there. But I feel like I'm going to do well, but I also, you know, hadn't done gymnastics in like 25 years. So it was really hard. It's been really hard coming back into it. But yeah, I mean, my goal is to go to Olympia. So, whether I stay in fitness or go back to women's physique, but I feel like I will make it.
So in this, in the category that you're in now, fitness, you, there's a part of it that is where you have to do gymnastics.
Right. So the comparison round is only one third of your score. And that's the bikini comparison round. And then the other two thirds of your score is your routine and the skills you do inside your routine. So, they have it at Olympia where they wear the costumes.
Uh-huh.
And, it's, you have to do like handstand, toe touches, splits, straddle hold, some kind of tumbling, like back handspring, all of that within your 2 minute routine.
Wow.
And you are judged on that. Yeah.
No kidding. Now this
it is rough.
The Olympia that you're talking about with the pro fitness, is that the one that's coming up in Vegas in November?
So they just competed at Olympia.
Okay, so you're talking about that Olympia, because I'm going to be at the Olympia that's in Vegas. That's all natural. It's an all natural event.
Oh, the natural one.
Yeah.
I don't know if they have fitness there or not.
They had a whole bunch of categories because I talked to Ironman and the people that own Ironman, Danny Cueco.
Oh.
Yeah, and they were talking about that. So I thought maybe you were talking about that one, but you're talking about the actual. Now, is this the Olympia where the sport went out of business and then somebody brought it back? Is that what you're talking about? That Olympia?
No, like the Arnold, like the Olympia, bodybuilder Olympia, the main Olympia was in September.
Yeah. Is that the one that went out of business?
No.
No. Okay. But the women...
They took women's bodybuilding out, but they could have.
Oh, yeah. Okay. And this is your first year that they've got it back in. Is that correct?
They're going to have it back in. Yeah.
Now, is that the one that you want to compete at eventually?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that's going to be after obviously this that you're going through now for the fitness.
Yeah. This show that I'm doing is an Olympia qualifier.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. So I don't know, like in the women's division, but you know, the guys, we always play games with other competitors, you know, like when we're getting ready for a show. A lot of times we cover up and we play these little Jedi tactic games. You know, of course the giveaway there was all you had to do was look at somebody's face and you knew if they're in shape or not. It didn't matter what the hell they were covered. Are there any, what's the backstage, is there any antics that go on and any games that the women play with each other before?
Well, usually check-ins people do cover up. You know, but if you are somebody in the top 10 in the IFBB, then you have a big following anyways, and everybody knows what you look like going into that show.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You can't hide it. Yeah. Everyone's followed your whole journey.
Yeah, exactly. And it's much different now because of social media. I mean, it wasn't like that when I was competing, you know,
right.
So I guess that is the difference. I didn't even think about that.
Everywhere you go, like, I mean, like I went to Puerto Rico to compete and like, everybody's like, oh, hey, you're in, you know? And it's like, oh, and it was my pro debut. And I felt like, and it was a meet the pros, like meet and greet thing before. And I'm like, oh my God, no one's even going to know me. Like, yeah. Why am I going to do that? I did not want to go, but everybody did know me.
Yeah.
So it was like, oh wow. But it is because of social media.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So now that you've been in the sport, in this training business for as long as you have, what has the sport of bodybuilding taught you, would you say?
Well, it taught me, how strong I am. You know, I did not realize it takes so much like self-discipline, and normally I don't really have that ever. Yeah.
So this
has taught me, and I think it keeps me, like people say, oh, but like, you guys are so unhealthy. You guys do all this unhealthy stuff. But unless I'm not competing the rest of the year, I don't drink because I can't risk being hungover, you know, to miss a day.
Yeah.
I don't do drugs. I don't go out.
Yeah.
Like, it has kept me such a square that it makes me laugh when people say like, oh, you guys are so dangerous. And it's like, really? Because you're out partying every night.
Yeah,
so
I know.
I feel like it just has kept me so, I don't want to say, so I guess so disciplined has taught me so much.
You know, I was an athlete all of my life. You know, it kind of sounds like you. You've been an athlete most of your life. And, you know, until I got into the sport of bodybuilding, I mean, I've always been very disciplined in stuff that I did. And I've always had kind of an all or nothing mentality. Once I have passion for something, I really get into it, you know.
Yeah.
But nothing like bodybuilding. I mean, that was a game changer for me, man, you know, because I really didn't realize how much it was going to demand of me to look the way I wanted to end up looking.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't know that. And yet as an athlete, I was disciplined, you know, but man, that sport is like, it's going to kick your ass if you, you know, if
it really does. I mean, it takes a lot to get there, and you know, it can take a week to lose it all. And,
yeah.
And that I will say, it does give you, I always tell girls when I first get them, do you have an eating disorder? Have you had an eating disorder? Because if you have, this will bring it back.
Yeah.
Like this will, I mean, I have never had a bad relationship with food, but I found myself over the years feeling guilty about things I've eaten when I'm off season, or, you know, just knowing, I feel like I know too much about what's in everything, you know?
Yeah.
So it's given me a weird relationship with food. And so I always tell the girls, you know, if you have, and I have body dysmorphia, you know, to me, I'm never big enough or lean enough, but
yeah.
I think that's a lot of bodybuilders. But besides that, I would say it keeps me very disciplined and on the straight and narrow all the time.
Yeah. You know, the thing about this is almost to the point for me, it was like, it made me so regimented that it was almost worked against me, you know? And why I'm saying that is because, I mean, this is how I call it, rabbit hole mindset. You know, you get down to this, you crawl into this rabbit hole because it takes that much focus, as you know, to either, it doesn't matter if it's off season or it's preseason or pre-contesting, but you get into this zone, I call it the rabbit hole, that I get to the point, Andy, where if I had 30 seconds left to do on cardio, I wouldn't get off because it would haunt me. You know,
right.
It's like, how in the hell could that
eat me
happen?
Alive.
Right? Eat me alive. I'm thinking, really? Really?
Yeah.
30 seconds? But that's all I could think about. I said, I got to go back and finish it. Or, you know, I never let myself off the hook because I thought, because that's what happened. You let yourself off the hook for 30 seconds, and the next thing you know, it's a minute. You know, because that's exactly what happens with people when they're following a diet. You know, it's just one day. And there's nothing wrong with that if you're really disciplined enough to say, no, I'm going to make it up like later on, you know, because the next thing you know, one day has turned into a month. I see it in my personal training studio with people.
I see it happen all the time.
Holy crap. The next thing you know.
and I think just being so on a schedule every single day, and I watch this happen with new athletes, and I tell them not to do it because I learned the hard way. Right after, they feel so lost because they don't know what to do with themselves because they've been following a plan,
right.
And they're binge eating and they're doing all this stuff. And I always tell people, you know, enjoy some food, but go back onto your plan, and you got to slowly introduce these things or you're going to blow up, you know. But they all just, they feel like, it's almost like a kid being in a candy store, you know, they're just set free and they don't know what to do with themselves. Like, and I, most of them will text me like 3 days later. They'll say like, I've gained like 20 pounds and I'm so lost. I don't know what to do without my
yeah.
plan.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know what you did before, you know what to do. You were healthy before, you know, they don't know how to act. So they just act crazy. So now I usually always write a plan post show yeah. so that they can follow it for them so that they don't get lost and blow up.
You know, I'll never forget the first time I competed. Because again, when you're doing something for the first time, you don't know how you're gonna. You don't know. Well, after that damn show was over with, and I'm not exaggerating, for 30 days after that show, because I just really, I mean, for me, dieting like that was just something that it was just I couldn't believe I did that. And
yeah.
just like you said, when that show was over, for 30 days, I was going up and down. We have a main boulevard in Visalia back in those days, you know, where all the restaurants are or were. I was going in every one of those damn restaurants and eating my ass off, you
oh,
know,
yeah.
as a overcompensation. It's like, oh, my God.
Right.
And then I felt even worse, you
yeah,
know, because you know how that feels when you get all, you know, I mean, that all that sugar. Oh, my goodness, you know.
Oh, I've done it. I've rebounded really bad before. I've gained like 30 pounds within a week and I'm just swollen. I couldn't bend my fingers, close my eyes, couldn't put my shoes on. My ankles were so swollen. And I warn everybody about this, you know, but sometimes I'm like, you know what? They all got, I guess they're all going to learn,
yeah.
you know, the hard way. So now I don't do that ever.
Yeah.
Show,
well,
ever.
And then what I learned to do, because I learned how to do this in my life, because I have I've always fought this all or nothing, and you know, you got to
yeah.
have, you know, it's got to be a little bit of, you got to throttle yourself a little bit, you know. And what I learned about my personality was that I had to let myself binge a little bit, but I got to put a time, like I said, okay, I'm going to binge for 3 days, and after
yeah.
that, I'm never doing it again. Because if I
yeah.
don't do that and hold myself accountable to that, it's a nightmare, you know? But yeah, the sport, I tell you what, I learned a lot of life lessons from bodybuilding because, you know, as you know, the longer you live this life, you're going to go through hell and there's going to be stuff
yeah.
that goes in your life and you got to have something to draw back on.
Yeah.
And this sport has saved my life, even though that,
yeah.
you know, 7 years ago, I don't know if you know this, but I had these strokes, you know. That happened.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I had three of them in 3 weeks and blah, blah, blah. And if it wasn't for this sport that I was in, I wouldn't have recovered. And I know that because
yeah.
there's so many people that don't. And because they don't have the willpower and the determination, because I learned that it took a lot of years to put on and get my physique in a way that I can compete at a higher level. So I was willing
right.
to put the time in. How many people are willing to do that, really? They're not.
Wait, no. And you know what? About 50% of the people that come to me and say they want to do a show, I know that by their food check-in, they're going to be gone.
Yep.
I already know because I can tell they're doing it for either attention or for social media or because their friend's doing it. Like, you know,
yeah.
you'll never make it.
Yeah.
You learn and it happens so much. And there's just people that are not cut out for this. It's just not for them.
And I'm sure that maybe you talk straight to your people, but when somebody comes to me, because it pisses me off, because I've had people right at the very end drop, you know, it's like I put this time in. So if anybody comes to me now, I turn more people away than I think I work with three people, you know, because I say, look,
yeah.
here's how it's going to be. Believe it or not, here's how it's going to be. Okay. And if you're not willing to tolerate that, if you can't have a heart-to-heart conversation with yourself in the mirror, don't do this because it's going to really
yeah.
piss me off because you know, you're going to put time in. I'm going to put my time in. You're going to drop out. Most people just like the idea of it. And you
they
know,
like the idea of it.
Yeah. But to actually
like
go
like
in.
Even down to like a lot of people here, they like to say they're on Team Andy Be Fit and you know, they like to go and they like to do, and they love all of that, but they don't, they can't, they're never making progress.
Yeah.
And it's like,
well, and I think just some people just want to be a part of something, you know, so
yes.
that makes them feel
yes,
good.
Yes, exactly.
I guess that's okay too then. If you had to do this all over again, would you choose bodybuilding? And if so, why?
Yes, I would. Like I said, I feel like it has kept me, honestly, I didn't realize how much I missed like competing. You know, when I was little, I competed and cheer and gymnastics and sports and everything, and this kind of just is like an adult version of that
yeah.
plus fitness. And you know, I've always been into fitness. And after I had my kids, that's when I really got into it.
Yeah.
And I think it just, I've always been a competitor in everything I do. So yeah. I think this just makes it, I don't know. I feel like it has saved my life.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, it's I think it's a really good natural outlet for people like you and I. I think it's a really good outlet for that, you know. It's just trying to control that when you get to that, you know, bodybuilding rabbit hole mindset, to control that in a way that everybody else around you can function along with you to some degree,
right?
Because otherwise you become isolated.
That rabbit hole, though, I feel like I've only had that a few preps, and it was the prep that I turned pro at. It was like, I've only had it a few times, and I have it right now. And I think it's just because this is a new division for
right.
me.
Yeah.
And I have to go into a new division as an IFBB pro when I'm not a pro in fitness. I can't go back to the MPC. So it makes me really nervous that I have to go compete in a division that I'm not a pro in.
Yeah.
So, and I have it again, this rabbit hole thing where I literally, I like, eat alone. I do my cardio in my room alone. Like, I mean, I do everything alone right now, and I just prefer it that way. But I'm only like this a few times. I've only been like this a few times out of all the years.
Yeah.
So, and that's when I know that I'm gonna do well.
Yeah. And you said you have two daughters or two kids?
I have a son and a daughter.
Son and daughter. So your daughter comes up to you and says, "Mommy, I want to be like you and compete as a bodybuilder." What are you gonna tell her?
You know, she said before, like, I mean, I even have videos of her. She's 12 now, but I have videos of her when she's like 3, holding my trophies and like doing all the poses and stuff, because she knows them all. But she always says, like, I'll probably do like one bikini show, because, you know, I have a big butt. That's what she says. But she doesn't want to do anything else.
Yeah. And what about your son? Does he express any? I mean, you can see it in your kids. I have two boys, and you know, I can tell when they're very young that they're athletic, and they both played pro sports. You know, so you can see that.
So he plays football. He's 13. He's going to be 14, and he's like amazing at football.
Yeah.
And so he just started taking weight training at school.
Yeah.
And I always tell him, you know, like, he's gone to the gym with me a few times, but he's not super into it.
Yeah.
But he's just now getting to where he's worried about his body.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
But I've had people ask me, like, you know, oh, because he goes to Buchanan, like, or he'll go to Buchanan, like those big schools.
Yeah.
And everybody tells me, like, yeah, you know, a lot of moms put their kids on like steroids when they're in high school. And I'm like, and they're like, you know, would you do that for your son for football? And I'm like, I really don't think so.
Yeah.
I really don't think so. Like, to me, that's just too crazy.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Well, you know, the thing about it gets so competitive at a younger age that parents aren't doing that, you know, and people aren't doing that. And
it's crazy.
Yeah, it is. I think it really is crazy, you know.
I think it's a little too far.
Yeah.
So.
And
but you never know.
I think all you can do is, and what I have tried to do with my, you know, not only my clientele, but also my kids, I try to talk really straight to them and try to address certain things, you know, because I don't think it does any good to avoid the possible issue that's going to come up, because they're faced with that. My kids were faced with that at some point, you know, and it's like, well, you know, look, here's the trade-offs. And here's maybe probably a better way to do that. But I mean, look, if somebody really wants to do something, you know, and the other thing that I thought was kind of interesting with my boys, I don't know about you, but my kids, because they're around me all these years, those guys can be, they're better personal trainers than a lot of personal trainers that are out there just by being around.
Right.
You know, because I had these studios and they were always in it. One of the things I learned when I went to Bulgaria was prepubescent training. How, if you know how to train the kids right, even before puberty, it's very, very beneficial. And I had them in the gym at 10 years old, believe it or not. Now,
really?
Now, mind you, they weren't lifting heavy weights. It was more gymnastics you know, sort of that, had that slant to it with a little weightlifting. But they're weightlifting, because one of the things that I learned from all that was that, you know, even when you're young like that, if you start training at a younger age, especially when you're playing sports, not only does it, the number one thing that it does for kids that young is build confidence, because, you know, a lot of kids have to suffer through being bullied and all this kind of stuff.
Yes.
So it helps them with confidence. But physically, what it does is it strengthens ligament and tendon attachments. So when the kids that are actually on a training program at a younger age, when they get hurt, because they are going to get hurt in the sport, it's only a matter of time, they rebounded 50% faster than the kids that didn't train, you know? So when I learned that and I learned how to train the kids, I said, it's not a question of if you're going to be in the gym. You are going to be in the gym, you know, because it's going to be really good for your sport. And the other trick of that was, you know, because dad was, I was the one that was in the gym and I'm a so-called expert. But do you think they would listen to me? Oh, hell no.
Nope.
I had to have my kids train with one of my trainers. Because they could get more.
They never want to listen to mom.
Never.
Or dad.
No. Yeah. No, they certainly know more than you do at that point, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, interesting. How about your exercise? I like to kind of finish up with these last questions. What is your favorite exercise and why?
Deadlifts.
That's your favorite exercise?
It's my favorite. I love it.
Ooh, man, you are a sick
little
puppy.
I would prepare my whole week for the one day. I would like prepare my whole week and like, okay, Wednesday, I'm going to do this. You know, I get so into it, which I really miss deadlifts because I tore in November last year. I tore my piriformis in half from a deadlift.
Oh, boy.
It was my peak week for the Romania show. And so I didn't get to go, and I was, you know, injured for this whole off season, which is kind of why I switched to fitness, because I thought I had probably lost too much muscle during this off season.
Yeah.
But so I haven't really got to deadlift in like a year because of the torn muscle, but it is my favorite.
Wow.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know people love leg press. But.
Yeah. What about which exercise do you hate and why?
I think I don't love squats.
Yeah.
I don't. I know people love those too.
See, for me, the last one is, which exercise do you love to hate? Do you have one of those?
That would be with leg press.
Yeah. Because the one that I loved to hate was a bent row. I absolutely hated it, but I loved it.
Oh, I love those. Yeah.
It's because maybe I was holding my breath too long, but I just hate it because I used to do pretty heavy rows, and I used to love to hate that. Of course, squats were always, nobody likes to do squats. I mean, my goodness, those are nightmares. And you can see a lot of the people that don't like to do them on stage. You can tell that they don't.
That's true.
You know? Anyway, listen, we're going to wrap this thing up. But, you know, one of the things I'm always out there searching for now, I've been in the business now for 37, 38 years. You know, as I'm coming back, I keep asking myself, how in the hell am I a relative now in the industry? You know, I'm getting back into doing these podcasts now after all these years. I mean, back then, we were writing training courses, and the whole thing back then was just basically, you know, telling it like it is. You know, being straight with your clientele, your people that are following your programs, even if it's kind of popular, you know. And then when I took off, we left the industry, even though we're still selling training courses. But, you know, Andy, I came back and sort of got into this and looking in social media, I saw so much crap that was out there, so much misinformation, and I really knew that it was just, look, most of these people just don't have the experience and the day in and day out and really putting the time in, and they're out here telling people what the hell to do. And
that kills me.
And it got to the point where I've written like 300 blogs, you know, that it's just stream of conscious stuff that pisses me off.
Yeah.
And then I put it into a book. You know, these are just blogs, 300 word blogs. It just talks about exposing fake trainers. I was so angry about that, you know. And so I guess I keep asking that question. So what do I do now, you know? So I think that where you're at and where I'm at now, you know, like Albert Einstein said, he said real information is through experience, you know. And my dad said it in a different way. He said, you can't replace that firsthand experience. You've had a ton of that. You've learned this thing from the ground up yourself. And you're really the person that's capable of paying all this forward with with good information. And so I'm always attracted to and looking for people that are sort of the like, you know, with the same mindset. And I can tell that you are.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, I think there needs to be a lot more of us, because I think
I've given a lot of rants on my Instagram about fake trainers, coaches, and just all the fake information. I have blown up on my Instagram on those stories. I get thousands of views on those.
Yeah. And I even thought at the point where I was getting so pissed off, you know, I thought this is probably not good for me. I was getting all riled up, and I thought, well, maybe I can do this in a different way. And I think maybe the podcast for me is a different way, you know, to talk to other people and share that, you know. And I tell you, I was, I went back to Gold's Gym. I'm still a member at Gold's Gym. I trained at Gold's, you know, back in
Venice.
Yeah, with Tom Platz.
Yeah,
and I still go back there. I'm a member. But the atmosphere inside has just changed so much.
Oh, yeah.
And I tell you what, it almost made me sick to watch it.
Yeah.
You know, I thought, man.
Everybody's recording for their pages.
What the hell, you know? And it doesn't seem like there's that camaraderie anymore. I don't know. Maybe it's just my age. I don't know, you know, because things change.
Oh, it's different. It's different there, for sure.
But anyway, I really do appreciate your coming on, and you've been very open, and I really appreciate that.
No problem.
You know, and I wish you a lot of luck in your new category.
And thank you.
I'm sure you're going to do well. I don't have any doubt about you. And, you know, I heard an interview with, I don't know if you watch men's tennis, because I do.
No, I don't.
Yeah.
And, but I like it.
Yeah.
But no,
and there's a guy, his name is Nadal, Rafael Nadal. He's like in the top one or top two. And he says, you know, it's really good. He's interesting in some of his interviews, because he said, it's really okay and good to doubt yourself, you know. And I think sometimes when you're going into another category, there's a part of you, and I'm speaking for yourself because I'm speaking for me, really, that kind of doubts whether or not how you're going to do, you know? But I think that's good to have that. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think it's wrong if it destroys you. But if you rise to that occasion, I think it's a damn good thing, because it's going to make you perform at a higher level.
It makes me work. I never go into 100% cocky or confident, like, you never know. And it does make me push harder. I don't ever think I have it in the bag, you know? So it makes me work harder. And I don't like when somebody thinks they have it in the bag, because you're going to be real disappointed if you don't.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, so again, I wish you luck. I hope maybe one of these days we can do this again, and we'll have some other information that we can give out to our audience so they can learn, huh? How about that?
Yeah, I'll be ready.
Right on. Sounds good. Well, good luck to you.
Thank you.
Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.